Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
My favorite definition for magic is the art of changing consciousness at will.
I'll say it's a natural religion. I mean, just that. It follows the laws of physics, the laws of nature. These are natural things. These are the way things are, rather than there's something else out there that's created it or imposed it.
Making magic to me is what happens when we've learned to take the blindfold off and discover that the world that we live in is holy, that it's divine, and that it's alive, that it's conscious.
Ancient mystery religions were not about secrets. They were about things that could not be talked about. You know, it's like revealing, well, what is the life process about? What is birth? What is death? What is the cycle of life? And that's what the mystery religions are really about.
And of course, we're not just talking about ancient religions anymore. There is a brand of neo-paganism that is very popular and growing in popularity. It embraces an awful lot of things ancient and new, pre-modern and post-modern. Joining us to talk about neo-paganism for this half hour of Issues Etc., live this Monday, December the 6th, Gretchen Passantino. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me, Todd. And you know, this is the first radio interview I've done since I received a copy of the new Concordia Lutheran Study Bible. And I'm so glad this is a Lutheran program because I really want to promote that Bible. I am so impressed with it. The earlier Concordia Study Bible was very, very good, and I always recommended it. But this is so much better, so much more thorough, so much more Lutheran, so much more up-to-date. The English Standard Version is a very easy version to use. The study helps in the Bible, and the particular sayings of Luther or comments of Luther on different issues. I know that's not our topic for today, but I'm just so excited about this new Bible, I wanted to share it with all your listeners.
Well, I'll make sure to remind our listeners about it a little bit later in our conversation. I was listening to a very rather lengthy interview recently, in fact, an interview with an author who is actually kind of a semi-famous journalist who has gone to the practice of Wicca and ancient mystery religions, as she says. And one thing I discovered was that what attracts the people who are attracted to neo-paganism today are not necessarily kind of the hippie types of the 60s, but really people of the academy, physicists, mathematicians, journalists, sometimes the cultural and the intellectual elite. They say that there's no conflict between mathematics, physics, and these ancient beliefs in magic, the power of energy in the universe. How can this be?
Well, let me say, I think there are two basic sources for this. The first is that the anti-Christian, agnostic, or atheist, strict materialist movement has told all of us, has taught all of us, that faith, that religion, these intangible values, have nothing to do with the material world. You can be a Christian and believe in Darwinian evolution. You can be a Muslim and believe in, strict materialism, because Islam, Christianity, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, and neo-paganism are all things that make you feel good, but they're not really real. So that's one thing. People are created to know and worship God. And when that is denied to them in their everyday life, the material world is all that exists, then they will make up a way to do it, not with the truth of Christianity, but with false stories like neo-paganism, like other kinds of imaginary beliefs. The second source for the rise in popularity of neo-paganism is that it's basically a pantheistic worldview. That is, all that exists is the material world with its immaterial byproducts, and God is divine, God is the world is God, the world is divine. So in that sense, whatever you discover through physics can be in some sense or measure what you worship, because God is everything and everything is God. So those two sources, a denial of the reality of the immaterial from strict materialism and an identification of the material with the divine, provides the justification for a lot of very intelligent people to indulge their need to worship and connect with God without having to bow the knee to the God who really is.
So what goes under the banner of neo-paganism? What are we talking about specifically here?
Well, very easily, the word neo means new but attempting to represent old, and pagan means rural or country bumpkin or uninformed, ignorant. And so neo-paganism is a revival or a remaking of a world that is ignorant, or a religion that is ignorant of Christianity. So the neo-pagans say that they are reviving belief systems from before or outside of Christianity, but they're putting their own spin on them. So, for example, there is a neo-pagan branch that is dedicated to the religious worldview of the Star Trek series. Now, the people who practice that don't believe that the gods and goddesses of Star Trek actually exist objectively in the world, but they believe that by following that religious system, by participating in that religious system, they receive a spiritual or emotional fulfillment that makes it worthwhile to them. Other neo-pagans would say that they're following the worldview of the Druids, the people in Northern Europe, and their religious system before the advent of Christianity along about the 4th or 5th century. But again, they're not taking what really was ancient, very ignorant of the very science and mathematics and other kind of sophisticated modern technology that they believe. They're not really taking that ancient religion and adopting it wholesale. They're taking some of the principles and terminology of the ancient religions and casting them in a new light, this neo-paganism, to make it compatible with our technological and scientific world.
Now, does Wicca, the kind of the revival of small w witchcraft, does that fit under neo-paganism?
Yes, it does. Wicca is actually a specific system of neo-paganism developed in the United Kingdom in the middle of the 20th century. There was a particular couple that kind of spearheaded it, but they got their ideas from a lot of different people. And at first it was purported to be the public unveiling of secret pre-Christian traditions, Celtic and Druidic, that had supposedly been practiced throughout the generations in the United Kingdom and Northern Europe as an underground secret movement after Christianity came in. However, later, the followers of Wicca did admit that they were actually developing a new system patterned on the old system. Wicca is not truly the last vestiges of an ancient secret practice. It's a reincarnation or a reformation of some principles and terminology from the ancient religions set in distinction to Christianity. There's no such thing as sin. There's no such thing as salvation by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There's no ultimate distinction between God and us. Your fulfillment is achieved by what you practice and how you live your life, not by grace through faith. Wicca is decidedly anti-Christian, even though it says it's entirely inclusive, that, you know, you follow whatever light you have and whatever makes you happy, and that's fine. But as soon as you say Jesus is the only way to heaven, then they argue with you.
Now, the big claim here seems to be, and maybe they're not claiming this so much anymore, maybe they've given this up. The big claim seems to be they have something more authentic religiously than Christianity, because they can allegedly date their religions, you mentioned this before, to pre-Christian roots. They will argue, therefore, Christianity is really the innovation. It really is kind of the aberration. The real natural religion, the most authentic human religion across civilizations, is neo-paganism. How do we deal with that claim?
Well, two different ways. First of all, there's a logical fallacy. What is older is not necessarily better. It used to be some people believed the world was flat. That was an old belief, but it's not really true. It used to be that people thought that lightning was magical and evil, and you know, now we know it's a natural phenomenon. There are many things that are old that are not necessarily better, old beliefs, old practices, old understandings of the world. Second of all, neo-paganism is not really that old religion predating Christianity. As I said, it is a reformation or a reincarnation, a new twist on the old thing. And third of all, Christianity is actually the first religion. It is not the case that religion evolved over time, starting with a very basic kind of an animism, believing that there is some sort of divine spark in all natural things, and evolving second to the last into monotheism, one God distinct from the world, and now we're so enlightened we don't have any God at all. That evolutionary view of religion is really not historically true, and there are a number of great historians and anthropologists who have very clearly affirmed that religion started out as monotheistic and devolved to polytheism and pantheism and animism and spiritism, and then was recovered in God's calling of his special people in the Jews, proclaiming and prophesying the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and that is the true first religion. Everything else is a devolution of that.
When we come back, we'll talk more about neo-paganism. Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Our call-in number, live this Monday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us with questions or comments on neo-paganism. Talk back at issuesetc.org. We get those emails right here in the studio in real time, as with your tweets at issuesetc. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Pasentino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Oh!
I'm a biologist. I think paganism is the perfect scientific religion because it is based on experience and there's no dogma.
I am the IS manager for the U.S. Navy. Magic is any energy that is thrown into the universe. There are ways of harvesting power, just the universe power, to make things happen.
Why do we sweep the circle? Well, it's either to clear a space for the goddess, or it's, you know, you're messing with the positive and negative ions. Like, either way, it proves us right.
Some more voices of neo-paganism. Gretchen Passantino is our guest. That's our subject for the next 10 minutes of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. Gretchen is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. You will find a link to the website for Answers in Action at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Gretchen, let's kind of take it apart doctrinally, if we could, even though these concepts may be foreign themselves to neo-paganism. Christians would talk about man's condition being one of fallenness or sin. What is man's condition according to neo-paganism?
According to neo-paganism, since it is essentially a pantheistic religion, God is everything, everything is God, says that we have no fallenness, we just have ignorance. There's not a concept of sin, there's only a concept of mistakes. There's not a concept of fallenness, there's only a concept of realizing your own divinity. Now, some of the neo-pagan practices and terminology make it sound like they're dualistic. There's a positive and a negative, male and female, good and bad, that sort of an idea. But it comes out of an ultimate pantheism. Everything is God and God is everything. Some parts of neo-paganism sound like polytheism, the goddesses and the gods. And yet those are finite representations or manifestations of the ultimate all-pervading divinity of the universe. So human nature in neo-paganism is not fallen, it's not sinful, we don't need to be saved, we just need to realize that we are God.
What does neo-paganism draw upon by way of kind of sources of authority or revelation, we might say?
Well, the idea of authority and revelation is kind of foreign to neo-paganism. It is almost the ultimate in whatever happens, happens. Whatever you believe, you believe. Whatever turns you on, turns you on. You know, as I said before, there's a form of neo-paganism that's devoted to the pantheon of gods and goddesses of the Star Wars or the Star Trek series. There are ones that attempt to replicate some of the early religious views of the Celts, the Druids, the Greeks, the Egyptians, you know, all kinds of religious bases. But these are useful constructs. They are not believed to be actually in existence and the objective reality by which everything else is wrong. Neo-paganism says anything that helps you feel fulfilled and achieves your goals for your life is right for you, but it might not be right for me. But as I said before, if you try to talk to a neo-pagan and say, but Jesus is the only way to God, Jesus' death on the cross is the only thing that can reconcile us to God, God created us, we are not God, they'll say, no, that's not true. You're ignorant, you're wrong. Christianity ruined our enlightenment that we are all God. So on the one hand, they tend to be very, very inclusive. Whatever you believe and makes you happy is good for you. On the other hand, they're very exclusivistic. Christianity is not true.
Who is Jesus, if anyone, according to neo-paganism?
Some neo-pagans reject the idea of Jesus altogether. He's just another mythological fiction. Some neo-pagans would say that Jesus was a somewhat enlightened person whose teachings and actions were completely distorted and changed by the patriarchal, misogynist church in order to hold women down and to develop a strict authoritative system that oppresses humanity. But in any case, there is no neo-pagan who believes that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Son of God.
I guess it wouldn't make any sense to have any kind of Savior figure. Do they try and co-opt Jesus from time to time? I mean, I'm wondering if, rather than casting him as a mythological character to assert patriarchy, do they say, no, Jesus might have even been one of us?
Some of them will say that, but they will say that the Jesus we encounter in the New Testament is not the real Jesus. That Jesus is judgmental, arbitrary, anti-women, and is a distorted invention of the church.
Can you explain for a moment the kind of the common thread that the practice of neopaganism has to do with either manipulating energy in the universe, a consciousness in the universe toward some end, whether it's in Wicca where they believe they're actually manipulating certain energies to change reality, or just kind of the general notion that you can clear out a safe place for yourself and your well-being if you have your energies right?
Well, the foundational principle of neopaganism is to achieve the satisfaction that we really only get from a true relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They try to achieve that spiritual, religious, emotional satisfaction without the truth of Christianity. So if going through spells and magic makes you feel good spiritually, then that's true for you. If talking about these magical practices in terms of physics and chemistry gives you that spiritual satisfaction, then that is true for you. The underlying principle is pragmatism. Does this make me feel better? Does it add a dimension to my life that makes me feel more fulfilled? What they're really doing is substituting pseudo-spirituality for the true spirituality that comes by being born again in God's kingdom through Jesus Christ.
Is there a concept, if at all, akin to salvation in neopaganism?
No, you're not fallen, so you don't need to be saved. There's only the concept of realization or enlightenment or experience. As I said, it's very pragmatic. What makes me feel better? You know, I believe that God created us to be spiritual creatures. We are created in God's image, and we're created with a desire to know and love God and be in relationship with Him. Our sin prevents that, and we can only be reconciled through Jesus Christ. But if you reject Jesus, you still have that emptiness. You still have that need. You know, my late husband, Bob, many years ago, was working with somebody who was an agnostic who joined the Masonic Lodge, and Bob asked him, you know, Mark, why did you join this organization that says it believes in God and that has rituals? And he said, because it makes me feel better. I haven't changed my concept that you can't know if God exists, but I feel better when I worship, so I do that. Now, he wasn't a neo-pagan, but he expressed an opinion that many neo-pagans have. They feel somehow incomplete or bereft without this spiritual experience, but they refuse to go to the foot of the cross to achieve true spiritual reconciliation with God.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds, Gretchen, is there any compatibility between neo-paganism and all of its manifestations and Orthodox Christianity?
You know, a number of years ago, we wrote a book called When the Devil Dares Your Kids that has a whole section on neo-paganism. And in that, we said that while neo-pagans claim to be completely inclusive and tolerant, they're really very exclusive and intolerant of Christianity. Some neo-pagans got mad at us and said, no, that's not true. But most of the leading pagans in the world told us that we were right to say that, and that it was a camouflage or a deceit to say that neo-paganism can be reconciled with Christianity. It is the truth, as Paul says in Colossians 2, 8, and 9, that the vain philosophies and the deceit that is based on the principles of the world, the basic principles of the world, denies the truth of Jesus Christ, and therefore there is no salvation there. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one who brings us to God.
Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, thank you for your time.
Thank you, and don't forget, listeners, the New Lutheran Study Bible is absolutely fantastic.
Gretchen mentioned it, the Lutheran Study Bible. You can find out more about this new resource under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we will get a live report from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, where they're considering an appeal of the federal legal challenge to California's ban on same-sex marriage called Prop 9. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest live from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California. Also tomorrow, we'll talk to Pastor David J. Weber about 4th century Bishop of Milan, St. Ambrose. I think he was actually mentioned by one of our guests today. It appeals because it is founded on the basic elements of this world, the way the world seems to work. That explains the pragmatism of this neo-pagan movement. Whatever works, because that's all they're concerned about, discerning how the world fundamentally works and putting themselves in harmony with those workings. It is rather mechanical. It isn't actually very spiritual, but of course neo-paganism redefines what it means to be spiritual. Spiritual now means to be in touch with one's created being, to be in touch with one's self, with the world around you, with the universe that is itself divine. Scripture teaches something quite contrary, and that is that one's goal cannot be simply to get in touch with oneself or one's own divinity. There's a divinity outside of us who has, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, taken on human flesh, entered our creation to redeem both us and creation by His death on the cross. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.